When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Here we go. It is our number five of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we have some progress going here at Cowboys defensive coordinator. Todd Archer with the report about 30, 35 minutes ago now on their plans for tomorrow. Broaddus had told you back in Krusty's Corner at 3:40 he had heard there's going to be some interviews Friday. And, you know, we were standing by for that when Todd Archer broke in on Twitter with this. The Cowboys have requested permission to speak with Minnesota Vikings defensive pass game coordinator Durante Jones, Denver assistant head coach passing game coordinator Jim Leonard, who we've talked a lot about, and Browns safeties coach Ephraim Banda. These all for their defensive coordinator vacancy, according to multiple sources. They were denied by the Hawks, by the Falcons, rather, a chance to talk with Jeff Ulbrich. So, what do we know about these guys? Banda at Cleveland, he's been working with Jim Schwartz. He has interviewed for the Colts defensive coordinator job in the last couple of years, coached at Miami for 6 or 7 years. Recruited a bunch of DBs, coached 9 different DBs that appeared in the NFL. He was a defensive coordinator at Utah State, and his defense was known to be aggressive, and he ranked amongst the national leaders in tackles for loss, but it was just a year, and then he went on to Cleveland, where he's been working with Jim Schwartz. So that's Banda, and then Durante Jones has been working with Brian Flores in the Minnesota Vikings. Brian.
Yeah, I got something here. This is a guy, I know a guy that worked with this guy, and he says he thinks he learned a lot from Flores. As you mentioned, he spent time at LSU. He wants fast corners over everything else. That's how he kind of thinks. Good guy, good to work with in personnel. Had coordinator interviews last year is what they did. And so
I think he's interviewed with 3 or 4 different teams.
Yeah, yeah. This guy knows Joe Witt. You know, he has a history with Joe Witt. And he says, just comparing, and you know, Joe Witt was, you know, here last year or a couple years ago with
Dan Quinn.
So he said, just comparing, he's easier to work with than Joe Witt. I think Witt has more of an edge and presence than Durante does. He feels like Durante's a better evaluator. So there's your stuff for your players, you know, when you're looking at players as and coaches that have opinions. He thinks he's a better evaluator than Whip. I don't know what kind of scheme he would run. I have no clue what he knows about the front seven. And I'm not sure I see him as a coordinator just yet. I would say he's heading the right direction, but being around him, I think that maybe his time is probably sooner than later.
He was an LSU defensive coordinator in 2021, but he got blown out pretty quick. Yeah. And then, you know, he's been working in secondaries in the NFL since. He's coached DBs with the Dolphins, Bengals, and now the Vikings. I think they're in the right rooms there with Brian Flores and Jim Schwartz. If you can't get one of those guys, then, you know, find an up-and-comer who has been working underneath them. The story that I read, you know, said he was known for multiple look defenses and disguises and press man principles mixed with zone. But it's like, how do you even gauge that if you're not the actual DC?
Yeah, sure.
And then we got the Jim Leonard thing as well. And I know that's a name that's been on the tip of everybody's tongue. And he's working with the Denver Broncos. And this story, you know, is I think that's the most exciting thing about this, right? You've been talking about Jim for a week or so now, maybe a couple of weeks, Wolchuk.
Yeah, I mean, I know, even dating back to last year, you know, just talking with Bobby off air, that there Jim Leonard was a name that I think that there's been interest in across the league, but specifically with the Cowboys as well. I mean, he's a guy that was a defensive coordinator at Wisconsin, was their interim head coach there, and then it's just been a rising star. I mean, what he's been able to do with Denver has been incredibly impressive. I think he's a guy, and I know John mentioned you can go and watch actually a coaching clinic of him. He is a teacher. He is a communicator. He's got a plan for what he wants to do, aggressive. And players, he has found the most, like young guys, they're going to have a lot of young guys on that defense. He'll coach them up. You've seen young players be able to come into that system there in Denver and be able to hit the ground running. So even if they end up taking one of these guys in the first round, the opposite to maybe what you've heard from Brian Flores, where he might want some veteran type of players, I don't think Jim Leonard, it matters. I think young guys, he's not going to shy away from that. He'll embrace that challenge. So Jim's certainly a guy that I'd be very, very excited about. The Bonda name is interesting. He actually was at Texas. He's a San Antonio guy, but he graduated with his master's from Texas and then stayed on as a grad assistant. And he was with some of their, like when they were DBU, the Quandre Diggs, Adrian Phillips, guys that went on to have really good NFL careers, Kenny Vaccaro with the Saints. He was one of the guys that was there at Texas during that time that continued to rise up the ranks, as you mentioned, with Utah State, and that has now been with Jim Schwartz there in Cleveland. So both these guys are really cool names. I mean, I'm excited the Cowboys are doing some coaching interviews with guys that aren't necessarily like everybody knows who they are. You know, yeah. They're actually digging for, hey, these are guys that we've done research on, we like, they could be up-and-coming names.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, you know, how much faith do you have, how much confidence do you have that Shoddy and the Joneses can not only find a guy that knows the schemes and knows how to teach it, but it can also carry that, is it a swagger, it's a composure, it's a leader of men component. And I'd say that'd be the biggest risk with the two other guys as far as, sure. You know, how much of that, you know, sort of composure and it kind of, it's one step closer to being a head coach, and you really don't know how a guy's going to handle that till he steps in there. Okay, are the Mavs now positioned to get what they need in the Anthony Davis trade, or is it becoming clear what the best possible scenario is going to be for them? I got that here for you in just a minute. Wolchuk had their couple hours ago, hour and a half ago, the report from Tim McMahon on Twitter, Ban McMahon, that Kyrie might not play this year. It's been a really interesting story arc with Kyrie Irving, because at the very beginning of the season, we're hearing best case scenario, he could be back before the new year. And then, you know, it's updated to early on in 2026. And then it was probably before the trade deadline. And now not before the trade deadline, might not play at all this year. I just hope this is precautionary. Like, let's make sure that we don't waste him and get him hurt again. Let's give him the full time, because he is an older player now, to come back from this torn ACL. And I hope there wasn't a complication.
Ooh.
You know, hopefully this is just all like kind of a tank move and a let's give Kyrie the full year to, you know, recover from this and come back 2026, 2027 as good as he possibly can. But there are no further details on that story, right?
No, not that I've seen. Just that they're open to moving AD to a team that he wants to be, that will also give him the contract extension that he wants. And then the Kyrie stuff is all I've seen is exactly what you just said, that not going to be before the trade deadline and might not play this year.
Yeah, and I wonder if that's Kyrie kind of taking ownership of his just kind of health situation and being the one who's spearheading that, or if it's the Mavericks saying like, hey, just slow it down. We're kind of tanking for this year, and we want you as healthy as possible for next year. And then when it comes to Anthony Davis in that trade, I don't know how much it helps you in terms of getting the assets you want in return, but in terms of getting a deal done, I think it is pretty ideal that Rich Paul and Clutch is kind of the middleman on all this, because yeah. They seem to always get what they want.
Yes.
You know, so it's like, hey, if the mission is to get him paid and you know yeah. It's not going to be with the Mavericks, they will effort to get him somewhere. And just in terms of getting rid of Anthony Davis, I think having Rich Paul in the middle here is great. I don't know how much it helps you in terms of the assets you're getting in return. Hopefully it's the best possible outcome from that standpoint. But just in terms of getting rid of him, having Rich Paul being the guy that's like back channeling everything, I think is ideal.
Yeah, I trust Rich Paul to get it done a lot more than whoever is in charge of personnel with the Mavs right now.
No question.
When Sam Amick reported that every team in the East believes they're Anthony Davis away from making the finals.
Yeah, I guarantee it.
I mean,
it.
You would think that maybe that can stir up a bidding war. I mean, that'd be ideal if you're the Mavericks. Because right now you're looking at expiring contracts and taking on maybe so far a lottery bust.
Yeah, we need that to start picking up momentum. And as we get farther down this month and the trade deadline, what is it, February 6th, I believe, like we need to start hearing those reports now that the interest in Anthony Davis is heating up because, you know, while he is a significant injury risk, he is the best player available when healthy. And he could change you from being a team that does not have an inside scoring threat, does not have a rim protector, and is bad on defense to, you know, top 10 in all three of those categories with one player. Now, it is a big risk to stay healthy, but if you already know we're not going to win the championship with this group, that risk is really sure. Your only opportunity to get there. So the news started with the Trae Young to the Wizards story, and they made the deal for McCollum and Kispert. But inside that deal was something much more interesting. Shams Charania reporting that part of the deal for Atlanta was freeing up the cap space that they would need to go for Anthony Davis. So Atlanta has a really weird future draft pick situation where it's basically pick swaps with the Bucks and Spurs. There might even be another team in there, but the Pelicans pick is the big trade chip. And last night we talked about, hey, you might have to wait until the summer to trade Anthony Davis because none of these teams want to give up a pick that could end up being Peterson or DeBonta. But how else could the Atlanta Hawks make sense as a trade partner with the Mavs if you assume they don't want to give up the Pelicans pick that I think right now is second or third in the draft lottery odds? If you got the second-year player, Risacher, is that how I say it? Risacher?
Risacher,
okay.
Yeah, it's a total it's mind weird. Bleeper.
So that player right there is like, hey, maybe he can be a starter for us, but the idea of him being a future star player in the NBA is probably a pretty big long shot. So I need additional value, and you don't want to give up the Pelicans pick. 25-year-old center Okongwu, averaging 17 and 8. This is the guy right here, because if you're giving up Anthony Davis, who's 6'11", this guy's 6'9". He plays power forward. He plays center for him. You give me one of those other picks. It's a pick swap with the Spurs. It's a pick swap with the Bucks. You give me Risacher. You give me Okongwu. That might work. You are getting some young upside in Risacher. You're getting a solid big man who can play center. And then a little bit of draft capital. Would you guys do this? He is a guy who can shoot threes. He can score. He can rebound pretty well for his position. He is the modern center. He switches on guards all of the time. He's almost like an older small forward, like if you grew up in the 80s and 90s, like what a small forward used to be is kind of what Okongwu brings to the game. And, you know, you're replacing Anthony Davis. Now you have Gafford, Lively, and Okongwu, and then you get some draft capital on top of that. The weaknesses of him are he's not a rim protector, okay. But he's only missed one game this year. And I think that's got to be.
Yep.
He'll probably end up being more productive and impact winning more from this point forward than Anthony Davis. So I don't know if they're willing to give him up. But if I'm going to do a deal with the Hawks, that would be, you know, maybe what I would agree to at this point. The other option for me is just waiting till the end of the deadline to see if it heats up and something else comes in. But I think like shutting down Anthony Davis for the rest of the year would be the second best option, you know, and I don't think it's, you know, that far of a stretch right now. If he's going to have another injury. Now you just have to exaggerate it. Like if he plays the remaining 50 games of the season, there's got to be at least a half dozen injuries in there. Pick one of them, stretch that thing out for 2 months and make sure that you have a pretty good a draft lottery situation.
Yeah, I'm in favor of this guy. I'm trying to familiarize myself with him here a little bit, but he is, he's gotten better every year from a point scoring standpoint, and now he's up to 16 points per game. He's playing like 32 minutes a night, and field goal percentage and stuff like that looks pretty good. Looks like he's at least respectable from downtown, and his three ball's gotten better every year. Now he's at 36%. So you even have some of that element to his game, even though he's only probably going to take about two a game. But yeah, that would be awesome.
36% is respectable from a big man. You can legitimately play five out.
Right.
Yeah. He can switch everything. I think that is, you know, sort of the prototype of the modern big. And you got to give up something usually to get that and not having great rim protection is there. But as long as Gafford and Lively are on the team, you know, you're going to be more than chock full at that position. But LOL, y'all don't want basketball. I do. You know, I really want basketball. Like, it was a heartbreak last year when Luka was dealt, and, you know, because we should be entering the golden era or the second golden era of talking about Mavericks basketball here on 105 Through the Fan. He's gone, and now we're back into the pre-Luka mode of, wow, this team is bad, and you know, there's no reason to believe that that's going to change in a meaningful way in any time in the near future. But if you can tank this year and get, you know, Peterson, DeBonta, or Boozer, there's another player as well, Caleb something, who's a top five pick that, you know, I think could significantly improve the Cooper Flagg long-term outlook on this team in a way that gets us excited, and it becomes a very legitimate sports radio topic and sports TV topic. What's the cutoff age-wise? I think it's right there at 25. Like, they'll probably try to pawn off is it Walker Alexander, the wing type player? He's averaging 20 points per game. Good player, yeah. But he is 28 years old.
Alexander Walker.
Is it Nickel? Other way around.
Nickel
Alexander Walker. Good player. And if he was 6 years younger, I would say this is the perfect guy to put along Cooper Flagg to develop long term with. But it's a tough puzzle to put together here right now for the Mavericks. But I'm trying to figure out a way that it would make sense for me from Atlanta. All righty. It is the G-Bag Nation. You're on the Fan. We are 13 minutes from college football playoff semifinals, and we're about 5 minutes from a sports hodgepodge, Chief.
Yeah, let's prep our bodies for kickoff in the Fiesta Bowl. Everything you need to know next year in the nation.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Just 7 minutes now till kickoff there with Ole Miss and Miami in the college football playoff. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's Eric Chiafalo with his evening hodgepodge.
Yeah, it's your pregame Fiesta Bowl party right after this.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening?
Well, it
to
is the home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly. No one's thousands. Listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, do you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that. You rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Little shock jock stuff.
I mean, we are about to hit a five-day stretch of unbelievable footballing starting in just a few minutes. Miami Ole Miss, I think this is going to be an electric game. I really do.
Excited.
Tomorrow night, Indiana, Oregon. I mean, do you guys hate that we're playing these big-time games not on, like, a Saturday?
No, we're good.
No, I get it.
Thursday night,
no,
Friday night stuff.
Yeah, because no, the NFL playoffs, yeah. you don't want to compete against each other. I understand.
It's just another reason to adjust the sked and
absolutely.
Figure out a way to get this thing in there.
Hey, Kane's got
NFL playoffs. Yeah, what's up?
How's your kicking game? Like, how's your kicker?
Kicker's actually pretty good. He was terrible in that Aggie game because of the wind.
Okay.
But he's...
Because Ole Miss has a kicker.
Ole Miss, yeah.
They have an advantage.
They have an advantage.
Okay.
They have an advantage.
Yeah, okay.
Because their kicker, I mean, clutch and has hit from distance quite a bit.
Okay.
So if it comes down to a kicking situation,
Ole Miss has the edge.
You would definitely trust the Ole Miss kicker.
Gosh almighty.
But yeah, Miami Ole Miss tonight, Indiana, Oregon. Tomorrow night, Saturday, you get Panthers, Rams. You also get Bears, Packers in the frigid temperatures.
Blast.
Sunday, Jags, Bills, followed by Eagles, Niners. And then the nightcap is Patriots, Chargers. And then you get the Steelers, Texans, Monday night clash. 5 days. 5 days of win or go home football. And that's exactly what we want. That's exactly what we need. Now, what do you guys think about this? I feel like this
guy. I really don't know very much.
I feel like this guy would be pretty in the know here, okay?
Thanks, man.
Uncle Luke.
Uncle
Luke.
Captain coming. Swerve coming. Pocahontas coming. Free Willy.
Like from the Miami Bulls?
Thank you, Lucius.
From the Miami Bulls?
Yes.
Like Luke.
Uncle Luke.
Luke Skywalker, baby.
Yeah. No, he was a booster. He still is.
Big time, Miami fan.
Yeah.
Also, big time
donor guy.
Stripper insider, okay. I would say. Strip club insider.
Luke dances, baby.
Okay, so what do you think about this? This is his tweet from 2 hours ago ahead of tonight's game. 38-14 Miami. Now, of course, he's biased, right?
Yeah, he's a Miami guy.
So
all the way.
You see that and you're going, all right.
I don't think Miami can score 38 points, but it's possible.
I don't think Ole Miss can only score 14.
Yeah.
I think they could just suck tonight and find a way to score 24. but he says 38-14 Miami, especially since Ole Miss players want to hang out at strip clubs before the game.
Before the game?
Yeah, you know he's got his insiders.
That's what I'm saying.
You know.
I feel like this is a guy who
has... Is this a last night situation or this morning?
Arizona?
For lunch? They just hit the buffet?
I guess last night could have bled into this morning. Because before the game is a little bit... It's a little bit generic here.
It might just have a great lobster special.
But also, the other element to this is...
Make your own taco.
Creature of habit? Is this part of the routine?
Could be.
Possibly. Is this just staying into, hey, this is just another game, we do what we do. I don't know if this means, hey, we're bowl tripping and now we're going to have ourselves an extra good time.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Hey, this is who we are, this is what we do,
and
this is just a business trip, okay?
You remember Eugene Robinson?
You remember the one that went missing?
Yeah. It was not a surprise to me that he got caught doing what he did.
That was a creature of habit kind of situation.
From my
blow off some steam before the big game.
This is not surprise. That was not surprising to me when it happened.
Because yesterday was the media day for the Fiesta Bowl, so I'm guessing the teams came in the night before.
Okay.
So if this is 48 hours before kickoff, who knows what the curfew situation? Because you have the new coach.
Yeah.
Is he rolling with an iron fist right now? I don't know. At Ole Miss,
this could be a psyop as well. Like he might just be dropping it out there to create chaos in the Ole Miss locker room ahead of the game, create a distraction for the coach to try to hunt down.
Mind games.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is mental warfare potentially.
Could be. But if it's one on the surface, it appears to be. He's a guy that would understand what that impact can do to a team.
What kind of talent are we talking about in Oxford, Mississippi? Like if this were to be a pregame ritual.
I will say this, though.
Honestly, it's a great question.
Oxford, Mississippi.
Recruiting pitch.
You get to Arizona, I think that's a different level.
Obviously, the women on campus, gorgeous.
There you go.
But specifically, I'm talking the strip clubs there.
Yeah.
I mean, what do we got?
I'm going to look it up. I'm going to look this up.
You never hear like the rap songs talking about the Mississippi strip clubs.
Yeah.
You know?
Huh.
I imagine them being hot and sweaty and small.
Yeah.
Real sweaty in there. We're down that Delta.
Right. Yeah. What do they serve up for the lunch special at the Mississippi?
Yeah.
At the Mississippi.
Catfish basket.
Strip club.
Ribs and liquor.
Hot liquor too. Yeah. Shrimp poor boys.
Yeah. Yep.
All good stuff.
That's quite the allegation there from Uncle Luke, man.
We'll have
to see how it plays into tonight's game. Yeah, is this just business as usual, or are these guys taking advantage of a fun night out before the biggest games of their lives? I don't know. Now, you also have quite the Miami turnout here. Ray Lewis and Edgerrin James are honorary captains for Miami. And then you got a host of alums, obviously the playmakers out there. He's going with the black leather jacket tonight. Saw that.
A little colder down there. He's going to lose that thing by second quarter.
Oh, my gosh.
The way that he sweats.
Yeah, with the sweat and just how...
Oh, he's got that starter jacket, right?
He's planking while watching the game.
Yeah, he's on all fours. Yeah. He's going up and down the sideline. Like, wherever the ball is, he is. And he's just rabid going nuts. So, yeah.
He said that all fours is for his back.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. Okay. He said his back be killing him out there sometimes, but the adrenaline takes over.
That's actually a heady play. At least he's not doing the Steve Nash thing where he's just like laid up with the towel pillow. Remember how Steve Nash used to do that? He wouldn't go to the bench when he was getting his rest minutes. He would just go lay down like kind of underneath the basket a little bit. But the playmakers are not going to be doing that.
So Two Live Crew was wild back in the day, though.
Oh, my
God. It was unbelievable. It was amazing. I mean, I had all the tapes. But this is a tape like you couldn't even tell your parents you had.
Okay. Nope.
I remember when my dad found out I had a Two Live Crew tape. You know,
pop that.
He looked at me with such disappointment.
Don't stop, pop that, pop that.
dare you?
But now I feel like these songs are being played on the actual radio. They're just edited.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like all the stuff they were talking about is on the radio now.
It's grimy out here, man. Reggie Wayne's out there. Kim Ward.
Greg Olson.
Greg Olson.
I saw Greg Olson, yeah. Our guy.
Jonathan Vilma. Andre Johnson. I mean, that is...
What about Vince Wilfork?
That is pretty cool.
He needs to be on the sideline in his overalls.
With no shirt underneath.
Nothing else on.
I agree.
Not even any draws.
I agree. Get him doing the BTA with the playmaker after the game. I could see that being pretty special.
Can any school provide the multiple generations that Miami does of legends? Maybe Ohio State?
No, in terms of badassery. Well, Alabama. Well, USC.
There are schools that could, but it seems like Miami is just the hotspot for like really owning it, embracing it, welcoming it.
Well, that's what they were, like those late 80s and then the 2000s. Like, it was all about the swag.
Yeah.
It was all about in your face. Like, this is what we do. We're going to kick your ass and we're going to laugh in your face while we do it. Like, that's what made the U. Like, it's just pure badassery.
I'm waiting to see Dwayne The Rock Johnson make an appearance out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now,
he's chopped liver compared to some of these guys.
He doesn't want to make public appearances until he gets his swole back on, does
he?
Yeah,
he's real thin.
Has he been sick?
No, he did it for a movie.
He did a part. Yeah, he did a part where he wanted to get a little bit more like thespian. Let's get into character.
He's got the new Moana coming out. He had to be jacked for that. So this must have been like just a voice. That.
He's just voicing that.
No, they're doing a live action.
Oh, they're doing live action.
Yeah.
I looked something
up. Doesn't he have to get fat for that?
No. That guy's like a big, bulky dude.
You guys were kind of hammering on Mississippi a little bit about the strip club.
Well, I just
stuff.
Don't know.
Like, we were just really asking the question.
I knew this was a fact. I didn't know the number. Mississippi, by the way, holds the record for most placements in the Miss USA pageant.
Okay, but
the state of Mississippi.
That's a different.
Kind of
ladies. I'm just saying the state.
They do pack
they
a punch with beauty.
Up. Okay, no, they show up.
There's prettier than we thought. Campus is gorgeous. Specifically, the strip clubs, though, was the question.
You just don't know. There could be some spillover.
Could
for
be
that.
Sneaky.
There
could be.
Absolutely,
could be sneaky hidden gem.
I think, but
we got to pay for nursing school.
Mississippi as a state holds the record for the most placements in the Miss USA pageant.
That's impressive.
I think Texas has the third most winners. New York, number one. California, number two. Not surprising.
But, yeah, Texas.
No, the South is just, we got honeys.
Yeah, a lot of honeys there, but I imagine they're all like the daughters of very wealthy alumni.
Yeah.
You know?
The last time they had a winner was Alicia.
They don't need to strip.
Alicia Branch won it in 2020. She's the last lady from Mississippi to win the pageant. She was actually born in Detroit.
Detroit, what up, though?
Yeah.
What up, dog?
All right, most bet props for tonight's game. The number one most bet prop is Kawan Lacy, Ole Miss running back, under 77.5 rushing yards. I don't know.
That would be a Miami win right there if that was the case.
Yeah, and they'll throw him the ball, too. So, I mean, he could still have a really dang good game and have like 75 yards rushing and still make an impact in the passing game. Both of these running backs, Lacy and Fletcher, pass pro. I mean, if you're just like trying to just get football nasty with it tonight, watch those guys when they're in pass pro, and they will impress you.
Oh, they're going to get trucked.
You got Trinidad Chambliss over 267.5 passing yards.
He's going to need it if they're going to win.
I think
I'm going to bet the under.
He's got to be superhuman like he was versus Georgia.
Give me less.
You're going to go under on that?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, are you price picking anything tonight?
I was a little scared to. I mean, I did think about going less on the Lacy.
Number of times that Pat McAfee cusses tonight.
Just, oh, yeah, that's the other thing. The McAfee cast is readily available. So if you don't want to hear Fowler and Herb Street, flip over, I think, to ESPN2.
Yeah.
Watch the McAfee cast. That's what I'll be doing.
Do these guys, Herb Street and Fowler, do the game tomorrow night too?
No.
They get on a plane?
It's McDonough and McElroy tomorrow.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah, and they're good. They're good. The other one, this should be a no-brainer. Trinidad Chambliss, what do you think his rushing yard total is?
35.
22.5.
Wow. Okay. I figured it would be more, but 23.5 rushing yards is what it is.
I think it's really just the Miami defense and the respect that they've earned out of these two games, man. I mean, it's been unbelievable. Marcel
Reed. If
they bottle
him up for under 25 rushing yards, I'd be like, damn.
I mean, Ohio State and A&M, they just smothered him. It's pretty, I mean, and Ohio State was a good running team, and they had Jeremiah Smith. You'd think they'd have some Carnell Tate, some explosive plays. Marcel Reed can run around on you. They didn't let him do it.
Have y'all studied the Carnell Tate versus Miami? Have y'all studied that one?
No, I didn't watch the Carnell Tate again. Well, I mean, I saw the game, obviously, but I didn't look at the tape of Carnell Tate versus Miami.
You will dock him in that game.
Yeah, it was a little alligator arms.
You'll drop him in that one.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Fletcher, Miami running back, over 88.5 rushing yards. That is the fifth most bet prop. I think that should be rocking and rolling. Unless Ole Miss gets out to an early lead and Miami has to abandon it. But Miami wants to run the football. Ole Miss run defense, not great.
I wonder if this is
great.
Like Ole Miss stack the box thing, you know, that kind of thing.
I would try and force Carson Beck to beat me.
I would, too.
That's kind of what I would do, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no question. Malachi Toney hasn't had, like, an eruption in these first two college football playoff games. He's the true freshman wide receiver number 10 for Miami. I would expect tonight he gets going here because he's not the type of guy that can be bottled up for a long stretch. In the last two games, he hasn't done a ton, even though he did have the game-winning touchdown on that jet sweep versus the Aggies, but he's been a little bit bottled up. He's the most bet player to have the first touchdown score is Malachi Toney. Okay. He's also the second most bet player for the anytime touchdown. Trinidad Chambliss is number one there. How many points do you think Ole Miss scores tonight? Like just because when you go through their game logs, dude.
Yeah,
I think South Carolina, they put up like 23 or 24.
Yeah.
But for the most part, dude, this is a 30-plus point scoring offense. Yeah. They just can't help themselves. Yeah. OU, I mean, OU's a similar kind of defense. Yeah. They fly around. They got a great pass rush. And he was able to really crush in that game. So this is going to be incredible. I'm fired up.
How's Miami's defense been? Are they giving up sub-20s a lot?
Yeah, Miami's defense is outstanding.
I mean, scored less than 30, Ole Miss has.
I just think a great edge rush is the great equalizer on this kind of stuff. So I could see
they
Ole Miss
got corners that can cover, too.
I'm with you. I think that's the thing here is with Ole Miss, they are like tops in the country at getting the ball out quick. Like their whole offense is quick. So that's kind of a neutralizer. And then Chambliss is just, he doesn't get sacked. Other than the Florida game, for whatever reason, Florida was able to sack him like four or five times. But otherwise, he does not take sacks. So that is obviously a huge X factor and key in the game tonight. And it's going to be a fun one, man. Miami's defense is the real deal, but so is Chambliss, so is Lacey. I cannot wait. What's your prediction?
They've given up less than 10 six times. Hurricanes have.
Right.
That's impressive.
Yeah, they can shut you down.
Well, I just bet on
SMU
the Hurricanes.
SMU got after them a little bit.
SMU and Louisville, both offenses are get the ball out quick, and Miami's definitely a much better team today than they were at that point.
They gave up over 20 points four times. They're 2-2.
Yeah. We get 27-17 Canes.
Ooh, I like that. 17 points. You hold Chambliss
and
company
for you
to
in
17.
Miami. That's what I'm doing. I'm pulling for you in Miami.
You said you put some action on it?
I did. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
I finally won a Cowboys game. The Cowboys Chargers. Matchup.
Okay,
got
so you're
paid on
here.
That a little bit. So
I was thinking that might have been a death nail in my Miami coffee.
No, I'm back, baby. Yeah,
the cooler.
The trend has reversed. Thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy the game. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. We'll cross with the Fan after dark. See what Fred and Blake have cooking here for you. Coming up next, the Fan.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
All righty. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation. You're on 105.3 The Fan. We're about to get the opening kickoff. Where did the opening kickoff just happen? But college football semifinals as we get set to hand it off to the Fan after dark. Fred and Blake, gentlemen, how we doing?
I'll tell you what, your wardrobe never disappoints, Dawson.
You have made
dress like a homeless person. I mean, I enjoy it. I'm a fan. That's
Thank
a
you.
Nice looking little jacket you got there.
It's comfortable. You know, when COVID hit, I was like, I'm just going to wear sweatpants. And then when I emerged from my house a year later, I've worn jeans twice since then.
For real? Twice?
I was going to say, you're in jeans regularly.
I'm a jeans guy.
Woolchuck's a jean guy.
I've never seen you in jeans.
No.
We're coming up on a Super Bowl trip here soon.
Yeah.
It's questionable whether Dawson will bring a piece of luggage.
Dude, there was a Super Bowl year where I wore the same thing every day.
It was Vegas, and it was legendary.
I'm not mad at you.
You pulled it off, and it didn't smell.
That was so funny. That was hilarious.
Well, I went to the Target and got T-shirts and underwear.
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe socks.
It's very Doug Funny of you. You know.
It was impressive.
Okay.
It was impressive.
It was nice, too. You know, traveling light.
Well, Chuck brought us. Give me some numbers and names that Cowboys fans should be watching in this game.
Well, the two edges.
Yeah, four and three for sure.
Yeah, okay. Bain and Mezidor. I know Eric's talked about Scott.
We got an injury already?
Big 99.
99 is shaking his head.
Hey, that doesn't look good at all.
Not good. Number zero, Scott, the nickel corner. You know, I do think he's a guy that's going to be a good player. The problem is the Cowboys don't have a day two pick, and I think he's a day two guy.
Mm.
So I don't know that he's going to be able to really become a Cowboy unless they're able to require more.
Anybody on Ole Miss's side Cowboys should be looking for? Cowboys fans?
No.
Even if it's late?
I haven't seen. No. I've studied 60-some-odd guys, and I've not looked at one Ole Miss player.
That's probably why
they
Lane
graduated
Lane
a ton last
to bounce.
Oh, he hurt his knee very early in his.
Oh, non-contact, as we like to call it. Biz.
Yeah. Mm.
What's your guys' strategy for the game being on while you are on? Do you talk about it? Do you ignore it?
Xavien Harris, by the way,
defensive tackle Xavien Harris for Ole Miss, number 149 on the Draft Network's rankings. Yeah. That's their top-rated draft-eligible player.
Wow. Okay, wow.
We'll have to see what Brian says here.
So we are. I have heard just conflicting. Shambliss is not going to the draft this year, correct?
He's waiting. He will go to the draft if he doesn't get granted this sixth year of eligibility.
Yeah.
And I think if they win the national championship, he should. I think he should go.
Okay.
I don't think his stock's ever going to be higher than it is right now.
Miami just lost a 325-pound defensive tackle here.
How are you feeling if you're the backup coming in at this point? You didn't know if you were going to play, and now you're going to be playing 65 snaps with the natty on the line.
Let's hope you weren't hanging out at the strip club with the Ole Miss players.
His name's Blunt, number 18.
He's a good player.
Here we go.
Number 12, it's really good, too, on the other side.
If you're going to wear 18 as a D-lineman, you better be a bad dude.
Interior D-lineman, too.
That's what I'm talking about. Let's go Blunt.
Yeah,
we welcome if you got him,
Dawson. We will be watching. We won't be doing play-by-play.
That's
illegal.
Because I like
watch.
We will be talking about it.
I enjoyed the coverage of the A&M Miami game with you guys talking about the win.
Got him.
They whip ass at the line of scrimmage, and it is so tough to contain.
What are your thoughts on having the Indiana Miami? Because you get the best O line in Indiana and the best D line of Miami. Is that the matchup you're wanting as a football?
If Miami gets the national championship game, they might be the team of destiny.
Tolo, Tim, and Carthage.
Yeah.
Tim and Carthage called it.
Yeah, they might be the team of destiny. Look at them, man. They just. Lacy with a miss. Yeah, so much that pass protection.
Yeah, he just got Olay.
Lacy got whooped.
See ya.
That was right up the middle. Was that a linebacker blitz?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Swim move.
You know, I see that number one on the U. I think about Jesse Armstead.
Oh, my gosh. Dallas Carter.
Yeah. To me, that's one of the. Lacey's a great kid, but I'm saying that's one thing when I am in my junior scouting, watching, missing blocks like that.
That's not good. That's a bad.
That's a minus. That's a big minus.
But coming into this, we kind of talked about that both these guys were good blitz pickup guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Three and out to start the game on 4th and 17.
And a short field.
Oh, he fielded it.
And a short field here a little bit. Yeah. About
37-yard line.
Who'd you got? I didn't hear y'all's picks. Who'd you got?
I'm just pulling. I want Eric to win Miami. That's what I'm pulling.
I could care less about Eric winning, couldn't care less, but I'll take Miami.
There you go.
I wanted an easy Miami pick.
Right?
I went big
Eric
on
and
it.
His family's
$35.
This is why we mess with the G-Bag Nation right here. Miami fan right here.
I got Ole Miss.
There we go.
You grew up a Miami fan?
Hell no. But I tell you, look.
How could you not at least appreciate
it? Respect good. It's fun.
First of all, three of us at least are old enough to remember Ice Ice Baby, my town that created all the bass sound. Even though that video was recorded here in Dallas, see, I'll tell you the whole story. Rip Van Winkle, Miami's finest. Ice Ice Baby Too Cold.
I think it was Robert.
Oh, yeah.
Richardson,
right?
Rip,
yeah.
This is close.
I get it. Van Winkle is a problem. He should have dropped that a long time ago.
You know he's still rich, though?
Hell yeah, he is. He's like designing people's houses and stuff.
He's doing building, stuff. He does a good job on the building show.
Shout out to Bob the Builder. There's going to be two turnovers in this game. Carson Beck will throw an interception at some point.
Jeez, what are you
doing? And Ole Miss will fumble at some point.
Okay.
Now, who will be able to overcome? I think we can all agree Miami's got the better defense.
These are sure bets to go wrong.
These are sure bets to go
bad because haven't you been bad all?
Well, you know what? What a tease. We're actually going to our final picks for the 2025 season. We will go over those today. And I'll tell you what, it did come down to the final week.
I was listening the other day. Blake was like, he was encouraged, like, I'm one away.
Well, he was making a comeback.
And then he went
I'll tell you what,
away.
Well, again, hey.
8:20.
Whoever loses has to do stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
Okay, that is terrifying.
Wow. Yeah.
We've had that as a payoff for my fantasy league a few times, and the person just never
terrifying.
Did
it. That's terrifying.
We're doing it.
Like at the Addison Improv or on the show?
We'll figure it
out. We'll do it. What was that one place?
I'll show up. I'll show up.
Hyenas, Fort Worth. We're both
here. Here we go. Oh gosh, you can't miss that one.
Took a shot on first and 10 there.
Carson Beck-ish.
But yeah, you guys are all invited to, because, and I said, well, I don't want to give away too much, but yeah.
Shut up!
You said? Look at him. He can't hold it in. Look at him smirking over there.
What's your son smirking on?
What would be your inspiration, like a stand-up comedian you're trying to emulate up there? Tom Green?
No, I'm a Richard Pryor guy.
Louis C.K.?
Well, that's way back in the day.
All day, every day. I grew up on Richard Pryor.
I'm going to just black out and tell jokes. I'm not going to think too much about it.
About to get a shoddy run here on second and 10.
You're going to try to improv a stand-up comedy?
100%.
Okay, that's
I believe in you.
If I think too much, I'll overdo it and it won't be good. I'm just going to go up there and just tell jokes.
If I already told Blake this. If
you're
Blake
talk about
does
old girl?
It, I'll do it.
Maybe.
If he does 3 minutes, I'll do three minutes.
Maybe I'll start with Tennessee.
You just want to.
It actually is kind of a bucket list item.
You got a glisten in your eye talking about it.
Way, man.
If he does three, I'll do three.
Public speaking is cool, but man,
why not?
You guys want to. You want to lose, don't you?
No, I don't want to lose. And again, tune in at 8:20, you'll find out who did. But I
don't like that tease.
I have no problem. If my man's going to do it, being a supportive teammate, I'll go do it as well.
Yeah, that's a fan outing right there.
Absolutely.
That'll get me out of the house.
Go.
Fred's been the number one sales guy the last couple days, talking about the 5K.
I've got one. I'll tell you what, by the way, when did 5Ks get so expensive?
You got to pay to do this?
We're
going to get it for free.
Just don't have a number. Mill in. What are you doing? My God, it's a 5K.
Have a number and fill in.
Just kind of fill in.
Who's the randos with there no bib on? Just run it along.
Bro, we're not running a marathon. We're running a 5K. Dude, we can roll out of bed and do this.
They'll be wondering why I have a number when they see how slow I'm running.
Fourth down here, Dawson.
Come to that finish line. They're packing up, going home for the weekend.
Push. Ooh,
okay, that's a fourth down conversion for the youth.
First down
coming up on the Ole Miss 40-yard line. Here comes the Fan After Dark with Fred and Blake. Thanks to Lucius Alexander, the Pimp Cup Master Control. Just went 5 flawless like it was nothing. Thanks to Woolchuck and Chia Follow and Broadus. I'm Gavin Dawson. Till tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation at 8.